Actually, by the way, we will take it from the book of Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 to 28. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 to 28. And it reads, "And Jesus went away from there, and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. 22. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.' 23. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came out and begged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she is crying out after us.' 24. He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' 25. But she came out and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered, 'It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.' 27. She said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table.' 28. Then Jesus answered her, saying, 'O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as your desire.' And her daughter was healed instantly." Amen.
Amen.
It is good to be here today. And we'll all say thankful to God for the privilege and opportunity to be here in the Lord's house. I suggest that God expects for two things to happen when His people come together. God expects to hear from His people in the singing and praying. And secondly, God expects for His people to hear from Him in preaching of the word. And that is my assignment today. We want to thank each and every one of you for coming this morning. Perhaps you're visiting with us for the first time, or the 101st time. We want you to know that you are among friends, and invite and encourage you to come back and visit with us, and know that a warm Christian welcome awaits you here. The Bible says in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." And we want you to be like the Bereans were in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, where the Bible says that these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to consider whether these things are so. That suggests to me that anything that you hear from this pulpit or any pulpit, you must get book, chapter, and verse, and that thus saith the Lord. For on judgment day, God will not judge us on what we thought, how we felt, or what someone else saith, but what thus saith the Lord. And if it be true that the Bible, as the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse Romans chapter 3 and verse number 4, that God be true and every man a liar. Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, and meet me at verse number 15. Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 15. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Thank you, Brother Darren, for the reading this morning. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 15. It is here our Bibles. Read and teach. And Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." So Jesus said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes in the stomach and is eliminated? Those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." Verse 21, "Then he went up from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman came from that region, and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.' But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' And she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' Or the answer said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. She said, yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith, let it be as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Church, the message is entitled, When Your Faith is Tested. When Your Faith is Tested. I want to believe that each of us lives somewhere. Each of us lives somewhere beyond the walls of this building. Each of us have lives full of hurts, hang-ups, and habits, perhaps concerns and challenges that you, perhaps I don't understand, perhaps you feel that no one else understands, perhaps you're thinking that you're the only one going through something even today. Jesus, in our text in the Gospel of Matthew 15, had already taught his disciples, or the Jews, that no foods were unclean. The beginning of Matthew 15, Jesus and his disciples were criticized because they ate food with unwashed hands. And Jesus had to help them to understand that it's not the outside that God is interested in, it is the heart on the inside. So he now moves to this region where Jews thought that the Gentiles were unclean, just like the unclean hands, to teach them another lesson. And I want to suggest, as we look at this message today, that even Christians do not have the monopoly on faith. Christians do not have the monopoly on faith. Sometimes the people on the outside have more faith than we on the inside. Sometimes the folk we least expect do more and believe more than even us today. And so we want to see in the text some lessons on the problem which continues here in Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 21. Jesus, the Bible says, departed to this region of Tyre and Sidon. He went there to hide out. He went to this region to hide out, but he couldn't. Mark chapter 9 verse 24 says he entered the house and wanted no one to know him. But he could not be hidden. You know, good news can't be hidden. Truth can't be hidden. And Jesus himself could not be hidden. It is here that he encountered this Gentile woman from Cain who came to Jesus, crying out in verse 22. She said to him, O Lord, son of David, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. She was bold, and she was determined to see Jesus and wanted to be heard. When she made that expression or statement, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, she was addressing Jesus or appealing to his humanity in a very Jewish way, because on Jesus' father's side, he was the son of David. We see that in his genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, but on his heavenly side, he was the son of God. And so she appealed to his humanity. What was her plea? He said, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. She was desperate and she was bold because someone she loved needed something, and she came to Jesus for that help. Notice her progress of faith. She came boldly. She came boldly. But what is faith? Somebody wants to know what is faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, so that faith comes, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith is believing in something that you can't see. Faith is believing in something you cannot see. But you say, well, what does that mean? How does that look in real life? Well, you and I are exercising faith right now. Did you know that? There is oxygen in this room, but you can't see. Isn't that right? Now, somebody say, well, I don't believe that. Well, all we've got to do is close all the doors, seal all the windows, and just wait. You can't see the oxygen, but it will eventually, when folks start gasping for air and passing out, you'll know faith will become evident. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So this woman came to Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. She came boldly. When the Hebrew writer says come boldly, it doesn't mean become breaking down the door and saying I'm here. In other words, become confidently to the throne of grace, because we know that it is there we find grace and mercy. Grace and mercy are cousins. Grace is getting what you don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what you do deserve. You all of us deserve that, but God gave us mercy. But the Bible says in verse 23 of our text, but he answered her, not a word, he didn't say a thing. I mean, she made this spectacle, she's come into this house, and sometimes, if you're there right now, it might appear that God doesn't hear us. You ever feel like that sometimes? I pray, and I pray, and I pray, and I pray, and nothing's happened. He answered another word. It may appear that God doesn't care for us, and that he won't respond to us. The question is, do we give up? Do we get discouraged in that moment? Perhaps you're there right now. You prayed about something, you've asked for help, you've tried everything, and it seemed like things are just getting worse. You're between a rock and two hard places every once in a while. Maybe you don't feel like that, I felt that way. Or here's a woman who we can identify with, and understand that you are not the Lone Ranger. What about now? Would you have given up like this woman? Would you have given up? Seems like insult to injury. His disciples answered in the latter part of verse 23, said, send her away, for she cries out at the number again. This woman is getting on my nerves. Get rid of her. You know, sometimes you come with a sincere heart, but sometimes you get pushed back two steps, three steps, and it seems like the more you try, the worse it gets. But Jesus, the Bible says, as Messiah, in verse 24, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, you may not understand what that statement means. You might think that Jesus was being insensitive, or just perhaps he was simply testing her faith. Testing her faith. How desperate are you? How desperate are you? Sometimes the response you get may not be the one you want. Everybody prays and wants a yes. Right? Everybody wants a yes. But sometimes the best answer is no. The best, because what you need or what you've asked for may not be in your best interest. And from Paul, Zenith name, in your best interest. It is in your best interest to pray. It is in your best interest to come through. It is in your best interest to stick in me. Hang in me. Hang in me. Watch what the text says. Somebody said, are you kidding me? Excuse me. Did he just say that? It is not good to take the children's bread. Who were the children? The children of Israel. And throw it to the little dogs. The little dogs was a polite way of describing the Gentiles. The Jews looked down on the Gentiles and they called them dogs. In a derogatory sense. In some cases, even today, it is shameful even to have a dog. You will never see a Muslim walking a dog. You ever notice that? Because they consider dogs to be unclean. Even today. I'm trying to help somebody. However, sometimes, church, and get this in your spirit, sometimes our greatest spiritual growth comes during our greatest crisis of faith. Sometimes our greatest spiritual growth comes during our greatest crisis of faith. Huh? What is faith? Faith is believing in what you don't see. Many years ago, some of you young folk in here were born that thing. But when you wanted the pictures, you had to go and get yourself a camera and then go down to the store and get yourself some 35 millimeter film. You remember those things? and you move it up in the camera, you take those films, you're just shooting and shooting. You took all those pictures by faith. Some of them were crooked, some of them were out of focus, some of them had red eyes, some of them you had your finger over the lens. You didn't have instant gratification back then. Then you had to take it down to the photo shop. Do you remember that? Pay your good money, and then give you a little slip. And you took that little slip home, and you had to come back 2 or 3 days by faith. And you know what happened when you had to pay for everything, the rule, the man, and the government. Sometimes, amen. And you see, what did they do with that film? They took that film into what they call a dark room. Into a dark room to develop it, and that's how our faith is tested every once in a while. We have to go into a dark room for our faith to be developed. And then I'm like, and you took the picture and said, man, look at this. Look, and you were so excited to get onto the stool, and you're going through all those pictures. And I took 30 pictures, and 35 of them were in you. But now we've got mobile phones, and you can zoom in, artificial intelligence, and take a red eye out. You can crop photographs. But our faith sometimes is tested in the dark. You know why they call it the waiting room at the hospital? Do you know why they call it the waiting room? Because you don't know what the doctor's doing back there. Dr. Jesus is working on somebody back there, and you've got to wait. Wait on the Lord, the scriptures say. But why did she seek Jesus in the first place? Perhaps she understood Hebrews 11, verse number 6. Which says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. How often do we come after we've gotten a response or not gotten a response? How often will we come back? Perhaps we don't get the response we wanted. Perhaps we've been discouraged. Perhaps you've been knocked down, knocked out, and knocked back. But they say you've got to come believing. Notice this woman's response. He just perhaps insulted her in verse number 24. Verse 25 says, then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. And in Matthew's gospel, Matthew 7:25 says she fell at his feet. She didn't get discouraged, she worshiped. Amen. She got on her knees, and the point is, in other words, Lord, I need your help. How desperate are you? How desperate are you? Or response. She came and worshiped. Listen, the best time to come, I'm telling you this from experience, the best time to come is when you don't want to come. The best time to come to Jesus is when you don't want to come to Jesus, because perhaps then you're at the end of your rope, and that is where your faith is tested. And so she got down on her knees and she worshiped Jesus and said, Lord, help us. Listen, when you hit rock bottom, when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, come. Matthew 11 and verse number 28 says, come unto me. Jesus extends an invitation. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And don't you know there's a difference between sleep and rest? There's a difference between sleep and rest. That's another sermon for you. Another time. The best time to come is when you don't want it. What Jesus says, come, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't we need rest? We need to rest ourselves in Jesus. Lord, help us. We cannot but admire her boldness and her diligence. The Lord's response for the answer is that it is not good to take. She was not discouraged. She was not discouraged. Notice what she, her response to the Lord. In verse number 26, it is not good to take the children's bread and give it to the little dogs. He said, yes, verse number 27, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You know, God will give us just what we need, not what we will, because what we will may not be good for us. God will give us what we need at the right time and in time. He says, listen, in other words, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. In other words, even the pet dogs under the table can eat some crumbs. It is a blessing, church, even to be near the table of blessing. You don't have to be at the table, but just be near the table. There's a song, Zach Williams. He has a song, Bring It All to the Table. Bring it all to the table. Do you know that at God's table is everything you need? But you know what we do? We go and look elsewhere. We look to friends. We look to alcohol. We look to all manner of substance outside, away from God's table. That's what the prodigal son did. He left the father's house. He left the father's house. When you leave the father's house, you leave the father's blessing. But when the Bible says in Luke, chapter 15, I believe it is, he came to himself, and when he came back, what did the father do? He threw a banquet. Because he understood that his son who was lost had now come home. And now it was back in fellowship around the table. He said, listen now, it is a blessing. That's a statement of a determined faith that has been tested. In James chapter 2, in verse 18, James chapter 2, James got involved. He said, but some will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. That's a good thing. That's a good thing, but the Bible says, even the demons believe and tremble. Do you know that the devil has faith? Did you know that Satan has faith? I mean, are you sure the devil has faith? But faith in and of itself and faith alone will not save us. Because faith needs to be activated. This woman understood faith's ABC. Faith is activated. B by and C conviction. That's your ABCs. Listen, to have faith alone is not enough. You got to do something with your faith. James goes on in verse 20 and says, but do you want to know, a foolish man, that faith without works is what? Dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son at the altar? God called Abraham in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, his only son, and he said to Abraham to go and offer his son as a sacrifice. Go up on the mountain, and Abraham, old in his age, his son, a teenager, went up on the mountain, built an altar, put that boy, had to get up on that altar, and Abraham took the knife to offer his son. And while he was in the act, the Lord said, he called Abraham and said, do your son no harm. And when he looked, when Abraham looked, what did he see? He saw a ram in the bush. In other words, God will provide. But first, his faith had to be activated. You know, we want God's blessing, but we don't exercise our faith. If you pray for a job, you can't stay doing it on your sofa. You got to get out there and look for a job. If you pray for rain, you got to take an umbrella. Amen? And so, church, God's, one of my good sisters, she's passed on to the glory. Sister Grace Simmons. She used to say, Brother Smith, God works when we work. God works when we work, but he's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. And you know, sometimes when we're desperate enough, you know, there was a time, Brother Paul, when I went to Sunset, there was a time when I got on my knees one night and I said, Lord, I don't know why you have me here. You didn't. Are you sure? Are you sure? Well, listen, faith is like any race. You gotta run it to the end. And praise God, I had to finish. I didn't fly all the way from Bermuda to Texas to quit halfway. Amen. And so sometimes you gotta faith it until you make it. You gotta faith it. I didn't say faith it now. Amen. F-A-R-T-H. You gotta faith it until you make it. Amen. And so verse 22 of the text, and James says, do you see that faith was working through together with his works, and Lord's works faith was made perfect or complete? Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and was accounted, in some translation say, reckoned to him for righteousness. This is an accounted term. Abraham put forth the effort, and God accounted it to him or gave him credit for the effort. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He just expects for us to try. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. He just wants you to try, and he'll give you credit for that effort. If you've got a call to get to, do it. If you've got to drag yourself to the altar, just do it. And the scripture says, listen, in verse 24, you see there that a man is justified by works and not by faith. That's what the Bible says. And so the Lord was so impressed with this woman that he responded to her in verse 28. He says, O woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. Great is your faith. He says, let it be done as you desire, and he commanded. He commended her, tested, activated, and determined faith. And the Bible says he healed his daughter in that moment. What do you need? What do you need from the Lord? And how desperate are you for it? But I want us also to look beyond the text to see some of the unlikely circumstances in this story. First of all, this woman was a woman. She was a female. In those days, women were looked at as less than, as disposable, like furniture, and of little worth. And even today, in 2024, in some places, women are still seen the same way. How do I know that in India today there are protests because a female doctor was raped and killed? In 2024, you can't even be safe at work. And even in this country, women are not safe. Amen. So fathers, brothers, young men, we need to honor women as Jesus did. And so he honored this woman. And she was, see how Jesus' own disciples responded to her. Send her a faith. Secondly, she was a Gentile. She was cut off, looked down upon by the Jewish nation, but this woman was determined. But God, but Jesus already knew that none of these things would eliminate her from the opportunity to be called a child of God. Did you know that? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, Ephesians 2, the Bible begins in verse 11, it says, therefore, and what is therefore? Therefore, as a result of what was said before. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, are you a Gentile? We're all Gentiles. Anyone, any Jews in here? Any Jews? No Jews in here? That is all to us. He says, therefore, remember you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time, notice your condition. Before you were saved. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But one of the verse number 13. The most beautiful three words. But now, five words, but now in Christ Jesus. You who were once afar off have been brought nigh or near by the blood of Christ. Amen. That's good news. But what made the difference then, and what will make the difference today? Her and our
consistent faith. When your faith is tested, there can, church, and will be times when it might appear that everything and everyone is against us. We might be tempted to give up what might have already given up on some dream, on some prayer, on some desire for yourself, or someone else like this woman's story. Perhaps it's a family crisis, financial crisis, exams, health concerns, work, society, mental health, bullying, a besetting sin, habit, hurt, hang up, or heaven. Always remember that all of life is a test. All of life is a test of our faith. At the same time, our greatest test of faith often comes, guess when we can't figure it out. If it makes sense, that's not faith. If you can see it, that's not faith. Because faith believes in what it cannot see. Don't put your faith in me. Don't put your faith in yourself. Because you can see me and you can see yourself. That's not faith. But faith believes in a thing beyond itself. When we're at our wit's end, we can fix it, or we're at the end of our rope. When your faith is tested, what will you do? That's the question. What will you do? The Bible is an interesting book. These disciples are right there with Jesus. And Jesus gave them an example. Why don't you know in Matthew chapter 17, another test came for the disciples. There was a man who came to Jesus whose son was an epileptic, and he brought him to Jesus' disciples, and they couldn't hear. They couldn't hear, and so they brought that boy to Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 17, verse number 20, says this. Matthew chapter 17, and verse number 20. You know the verse. You'll get there before me. Amen. He said they wanted to know why the disciples wanted to know why they couldn't heal this boy. Jesus said to them in verse 20, because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. What is your mountain today? What is your mountain? You know, the thing in our mind sometimes is bigger than the thing in reality. The thing in our head is bigger sometimes. A problem in our head can seem insurmountable at times. I prayed, and it's still there. But Jesus said, if you have faith, that's a mustard seed. The mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds in the world. How much faith do you need? How much faith did this woman have? She was willing to overlook her gender, her nationality, her social status to get to Jesus, because she understood that he had something that she couldn't do herself. And some of us have so much, or think we have so much, but we are still at unease. Our lives are topsy-turvy. You know why? Perhaps we have not exercised our faith in the right thing. And he said in verse 21, however, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. Church, I want to suggest to you today that when your faith is tested, you need to go to the right source for the right solution. Jesus is the solution. Our world is in trouble. Just this last Friday, people minding their own business in Germany at a festival were killed by some person. In Stockport, is it Stockport? Here in the United Kingdom, little girls at a Taylor Swift party were killed. Listen, when your faith is tested, what will you do? Jesus. He was the solution then, he is the solution now. But we've got to be willing to activate our faith when our faith is put to the test. And so, last Lord's Day, two individuals exercise their faith by being baptized into Christ. And I want to suggest this because they understood that Jesus had something for them that they could not get to themselves. And one of the greatest decisions that anyone can make in this life is to obey the gospel. What must I do to be saved was a good question on the day of Pentecost. Jesus gave them five things. There are five things you and I must do to be saved. First of all, you must hear the word of God, Romans 10:17, so that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Secondly, you've got to believe that Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you from your sins. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Third thing you must do is repent of your sins. Repentance means to change your mind with a view to changing your action. Luke 13:3-5, I tell you that unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Number four, you must confess Jesus as Lord. That simple confession is, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10:9-10, for the heart one believes through righteousness, and for the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And number five, you must be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. That's Acts 2:42-48. Mark 16:15-16 talks about baptism. And then Revelation 2:10 talks about being faithful until death. Faithfulness. Faithfulness means to be able to show up even in the face of adversity. Even for us today, for those of us who are Christians, I want to suggest that all of us have some problems. All of us have some hurts. All of us have some hang-ups. This church will not grow unless we exercise our faith. Faith is what puts us into Christ, and faith is what will keep us in Christ. Because on the day of judgment, we won't need faith, because faith will become reality, because we will see Jesus face to face. But in the meantime, you and I have to exercise our faith every single day. If you're here this morning or this afternoon now, you need to pray. Lord, I'm trying to get through some things. Lord, I need your help. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better me. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but today. Because yesterday is history. Tomorrow is not promised. So all we have is today. That is why it's called the present, because it is a present. Because what God has given us today is not promised to us tomorrow. If you need prayer this morning, it would be our privilege to stand with you and for you as we sing our song of invitation.